Dermot decides he'll be busy. Get some work done so things will have changed while Abby's gone. Cut his hair, call and make an appointment, go clean-shaven, anything. At least get up off the floor. He rings his friend Michael in Galway.
I'm rearranging the furniture. Would you give us a lift to Hughes?
Dermot sits in his chair by the fire, eyes the couch perpendicular to the door, the coal bucket, the stool against the wall opposite, the big oak table and two chairs by the far window. Everything in its place, in the place Abby has put it. Dermot remembers when she first moved in at the start of winter, the mess of the cottage, the drafts coming through the gashed thatch roof. Abby, keeping her coat on from the cold, had walked through the front room, stopping to tap the glass of the framed manuscript that he'd hung over the bookshelf.
What's this?
Kiliani Vatai,
Dermot said, going past her with her bag, not even glancing at the illuminated page.
Is it real?
She'd traced the capital K, the bold red and blue strokes that curled into a fox's head and tail. After the K, the writing was small and ornate. He'd looked at her from where he was standing in the bedroom doorway, her bag sitting on the end of the bed.
A reproduction.
Oh. He went over to her then, to warm her hands between his, Abby's eyes welling up.
It's a copy of the fourth ascension of his life.
Abby kept her head down. She was watching his big pale hands go bump, bump over her knuckles, back and forth. Dermot moved his hand to her hairline, pushed a strand of her hair back.
My thesis.
That's when he knew it for sure. He'd have to be gentle with her. He'd have to explain things. He'd have to weigh what he said.
There's stacks of books on her friend Killian under the bed. Him at a particularly bitter end.
Abby laughed and looked around, then started crying.
If you're not sure,
Dermot said it slowly. Still, he had it out before he could retract it. He didn't care if she was sure or not. He just didn't want her coming and going all the time, a day here and there, and then the bus to Dublin, another day God knows when dictated by her work schedule. He was tired of waiting for her to come around. It was all or nothing. He didn't have the means to manage anything else. They'd only been together 2 months. He remembers thinking that if he strung the days one after the other, they would amount to a week and a half.
Stay with me,
he'd muttered the week before, when she was halfway out the door for Dublin, the closest he'd come to commitment in years.
Stay. Unpack. Eat 3 meals at my table.
And then, here she was, her bag set down on the foot of his bed.
Are we all right?
He asked. Fine. She walked straight into his chest, scratched her chin on his blue wool sweater. Really, it's fine. Dermot's hands on the back of her head, her neck, one hand finding her wrist so that he could bring it up to his lips. Abby stepping back, accidentally bumping the narrow bookshelf, the framed manuscript knocking back against the wall above, the cup of coins on the top shelf jingling around in their mug. She'd almost started to cry again.
All right.
Yep.
You'd think we're falling apart here.
Abby wiped her nose on her sleeve. One of us, anyway.
Come here, he said,
turning the corner, walking into the bathroom. He turned the taps over the tub on, and pulling up his sleeve, he set the plug in.
Have a bath. I'll get the fire up.
Where's Flagon?
I'll call her in.
Steam started to filter up from the taps. Leaving the room, Dermot saw Abby unbuttoning her overcoat, undoing her jeans.